With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Still Real Test Show, episode number 656 for September 8th, 2022. This is your post-AEW All Out recap and review edition of SRTU. I am one half of the show. I am Jeff Peck, joined every single week by my co-host, the one only Dr. Trey Franklin. Dr. Trey, we should really think about changing this show's name to SRTMZ, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's heading that way. I mean, days like this, you just realize, like, man, I'm old, I'm tired, I hurt, and I fucking work with children. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss. So in a world where we had three pay-per-view premium live events, whatever you want to call them, over the weekend, for us to recap and review coming out of Labor Day weekend, they're going to get a very small fraction of the show, which is absurd to think, because in normal times, like, the entire show would probably be built around literally recap and review and everything. But we're not stupid to the fact we know why people are downloading this week's edition of the episode a lot more. And there's a lot of intrigue because people are tweeting at us, like, I can't wait to hear what you guys say, and all of the stuff from post-AEW All Out. That's why I said this is your post-AEW All Out recap and review edition of SRTU, and nothing about Clash of the Castle, Worlds Collide, or the AEW All Out episode itself. So we will get to that. We will give our thoughts, and we're going to run through these pay-per-views pretty quickly here, and then we're going to spend a large amount of time here talking about what happened after All Out. So let's get into it here, Dr. Trey. Clash of the Castle, Madcap Moss, Street Profits, Data Free Theory, and Alpha Academy. We did not predict this match. Obviously, the purpose of this match was to get the crowd going. And I thought this was a fun kickoff match to start off the show.
Yeah, fun. I mean, no real storyline to it. Just, hey, here's six guys, and they don't really like each other, so let's have a match. Yeah, it was a fine start. Nothing spectacular, but nothing horrendous either.
Next match is Damage Control. Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky defeating Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka. We all had Damage Control getting the victory. A great amount of time for this match, which was awesome. Kind of a choppy match. You could hear Bayley directing Dakota and Io Sky around throughout the match. Bayley pinning Bianca obviously sets up a future title match, which I am stoked for. Thoughts here on the big victory for Damage Control?
I like the match. The finish, like Alexa and Asuka being, were just kind of down too long for the finish. But other than that, I mean, storyline 101 sets up Bayley and Bianca. Solidified EO and Dakota getting another shot at the tag belts. I was fine with the match.
Gunther defeats Sheamus to retain the WWE Intercontinental Championship. I had Sheamus, Dr. Trey, and Gunther. As expected, physical, hard-hitting match. Enjoyable match that got a lot of time. I was surprised that a clothesline is what put Sheamus away, but a fun match overall. I loved it, Dr. Trey. Thoughts on this one?
That, but if you watch that clothesline, that was a sick clothes. That's more of a lariat. So.
Oh, it's stiff.
Like, it was. This match jumped up into like my top 5 or 10 for match of the year. Like, I love this match. This is like what I grew up on, like that old school Stan Hansen, Bruiser Brody, Terry Gordy, those type of matches. I mean, they just beat the living hell of it. And then even the beginning, like watching the Brawling Brutes in a reunified Imperium go at it while Sheamus and Gunther had the stare down. I thought that was really cool as well. I had never seen that before, so I thoroughly loved this match.
Yeah, I also loved that Sheamus got a standing ovation. He's a guy that's like, he fell into the Big Show, Kane realm for me as a fan, where you kind of take him for granted. There's times where you love him. There's times that you don't like them, wish they were off your television screen. But you look back at their career and you're like, damn, that was awesome. And Sheamus deserved that ovation in the home country.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Like, I'm with you. Like, he's, anytime we get a guy who wants to hit that 10 to 15 year mark, we kind of go, yeah, we just take it for granted. Then, you know, they start winding things up and you're like, damn, that dude's done everything. Like, how did we miss this in a way? Sheamus is just one of those guys.
Next match here is Liv Morgan defeating Shayna Baszler to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship. We both had Shayna Baszler getting this victory. Liv needed this win to show that she belongs as a champion. She had no quit despite the damage from Baszler. It was a solid victory for her. Great booking for the SmackDown Women's Champ, who was starting to look weak and like she didn't belong as a champion. Dr. Trey, your thoughts on the retaining victory for Liv Morgan?
Yeah, I liked it for both women in this match. Shayna got to look a little bit more like Shayna from NXT and not Shayna from her early Raw Nia Jax days. It gave Liv a strong win because it showed her heart and determination. Shayna still looks like a monster that made a mistake. I love that kind of booking. So it was a good match for both ladies, actually.
Edge and Rey Mysterio defeat the Judgment Day. We both had the Judgment Day picked for this one. Fun match. I thought Dominic was going to play a role in the finish, but in favor of the Judgment Day. Instead, that post-match angle with Dominic turning on Edge and Rey Mysterio, but then joining Judgment Day the next night on Raw, or 2 nights later on Raw, was a nice unexpected surprise. Well-booked match and segment. And side note, I love the crowd singing along with Edge's theme song. Our pal Liam Kelly, who is a longtime listener of the show, actually tweeted us video from the live crowd. He was at the show playing along, singing along with that. And we retweeted that up on our Twitter feed. Dr. Trey, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I like the match. To me, the post-match stuff was great. But my two favorite moments in this match were guys selling ball shots, like Damian Priest on the outside across the barricade, selling that when he got dropped on the, you know, on his groin over the barricade, and then Edge when Dominic kicked him in the balls. Like, their facial expressions were fantastic. I love somebody did a side-by-side comparison of when Eddie turned on Rey back around, was it WrestleMania 20 or 21 or 22, somewhere in there, and then Dominic turning on Rey now. Like, that side-by-side comparison is really, really fantastic. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Like, Dominic's been one of my least favorite people in WWE, and at least now he's got a new coat of paint. Let's see if he can actually step up and make some noise.
Seth freaking Rollins defeats Matt Riddle. We both had Seth winning. Storyline of this match was that Seth outsmarted Matt Riddle throughout the entire match and preyed on the anger Rollins caused for Riddle. Rollins came off like the smart veteran that will force Riddle up to his game some more to get that eventual win over Rollins should this feud continue, which I believe it will. Seth needed this win pretty badly. Dr. Trey, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a good match. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. I loved the finish with the stomp from the middle rope. But yeah, like, this is one of those like cagey veteran youngster matches where the veteran just outsmarts him. It was really good storytelling. You can see a lot of the influence of, you know, the Dusty Rhodes booking, the William Regal thoughts, you know, when they're putting these shows together with how they kind of book the matches. Like, hey, it may not have, you know, it may not have a great rivalry. It may not have this or this. But hey, the match itself can sell the story just as much as everything leading up to it. So I really enjoyed it.
And then finally, the main event here, Roman Reigns defeating Drew McIntyre to retain the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Dr. Trey, both had Drew Mac getting the victory. Really good match. Tons of ups and downs throughout this match. Several times I thought Drew was going to win. The Theory attempted cash-in spot with Tyson Fury was really well done and entertaining. Solo Sikoa, who we talked about on last week's show, makes his main roster debut and helps Roman surprisingly retain. With this show out of the way, I have no idea when or where Roman will drop the championship now. Shocking that Drew nor Sheamus gets a big victory in their home country. Dr. Trey, enjoyable match. Your thoughts here, Reigns defeating Drew McIntyre?
Well, that's the Vince influence on the booking, where we talked about it last week, where if you're in your hometown, usually bad things happen. So it's just weird that AEW kind of does the opposite approach. But, like, it was a good match. It was enjoyable. I'm with you. Like, there's a couple moments in there where I thought Drew was going to win, and then it's like, nope, we're still going to stick with Roman. So I'm with you. If Drew's not the guy, then I don't see another guy coming till WrestleMania season, when it's either going to be whoever wins the Rumble or The Rock. It's going to be one of those two guys, because I just don't see anybody else on the roster being elevated to that level where Roman's at, you know, until we get to WrestleMania season.
Everybody was saying Cody Rhodes, if it's not The Rock, Cody, which makes a ton of sense, too, and I think probably was in the cards.
Yeah, but then again, if Cody wins the Rumble, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. That would be my pick right now, is Cody winning the Rumble. So if he's healthy to return. Pay-per-view prediction record, I went 2-4. Dr. Trey went 3-3. My match of the night was Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, and I gave Clash at the Castle, very solid show, a 3.8. Dr. Trey, what say you?
I had Gunther and Sheamus. I love that match. I was at a 3.7. I thought it was a really solid show as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and the crowd was great, right? I mean, we always talk about how good UK crowds are, and they delivered this past Saturday afternoon, which was enjoyable. I liked having a Saturday afternoon show. Next show here is Worlds Collide from NXT. Carmelo Hayes defeats Ricochet to retain the NXT North American Championship. I had Ricochet, Dr. Trey had Carmelo Hayes. Fun match. This match showed that Carmelo Hayes can hang with main roster talents and that Ricochet needs to be pushed more. I would love to see these two wrestle again. Looks like we're going to be getting that, hopefully, this Tuesday. Great storytelling from both men in this one as well. Fun, fun match, Dr. Trey. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, really, really fun. And this is kind of what we were talking about last week, where it's like, if Carmelo's not moving up, this is a great way to kind of showcase that he can hang. It gave Ricochet time in a match to showcase why everybody loves Ricochet. And if the feud continues, great. If it doesn't, hey, it was a great little one-off. I do get worried about Ricochet's career, because it wasn't that long ago that we had him listed as the number two babyface on SmackDown, and now he's back on NXT. So that's a little disconcerting, but the match itself and the production on it was fantastic.
Pretty Deadly defeat the Creed Brothers, Brooks and Jensen, and Josh Briggs, and Gallus to win the Unified NXT Tag Team Championship and NXT UK Tag Team Championship. I had Gallus, Dr. Trey, the Creed Brothers. Good match. These matches can sometimes feel like a train wreck, and that wasn't the case at all for this match. Damon Kemp turning on Diamond Mine helped Pretty Deadly defeat the Creed Brothers for the final pinfall. Was very well executed. Then he comes out on Tuesday and says he was also responsible for taking out Roderick Strong before the show and is, you know, having the cracks in Diamond Mine like it's been these last couple months. I have said it before, and I will say it again when we talk about these NXT recap reviews. I think Julius Creed is going to be a big star in WWE. The kid has the it factor and is a tremendous athlete. Solid match here, Dr. Trey. Your thoughts is Pretty Deadly win.
So are you not as high on Brutus then?
I'm not. I don't think he's as good on the microphone as his brother is right now.
I mean, could it be more like a Rick and Scott Steiner thing where, like,
yeah, Rick's very well.
So that's kind of how I picture them as well. Like, if you ever broke them apart, that's kind of how I'd set it up. But yeah, the match itself is great. I'm becoming a really big Pretty Deadly fan. I mean, for one, the guy's name is Elton Prince. I mean, Jesus Christ, Jeff, that's a fantastic wrestling name. So, and usually I'm the one sitting here bagging on the names, but Elton Prince is fantastic. And then I wanted to text you to change my pick before the show when I saw Exotic Adrian Street the night before at Clash of the Castle. And then you see Pretty Deadly and you're like, oh, those guys kind of line up. That would make sense. So it was a fun match. And then I'm interested to see where they go date with Damon Kemp. Like, are they going to keep him by himself for a while? Like, his brother should be getting out of his training from, like, finishing up at Minnesota and everything else here before long. Do they pair them up? Do we get Damon and Gable against, you know, the Creed brothers down the road? Like, where's that going? So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, because, I mean, Gable Stevenson, we've already seen him on the main roster. Does Damon Kemp end up changing his name back to Stevenson once he gets paired with his brother at some point?
Next match here is Mandy Rose defeating Miko Satomura and Blair Davenport to win the Unified NXT Women's Championship and NXT UK Women's Championship. Dr. Trey both and I both had Blair Davenport. Another good match. I enjoyed the finish with Mandy Rose hitting her Kissed by the Rose finisher, that knee strike now as a name, on both Davenport and Satomura. Mandy Rose has really become a great in-ring performer during her second NXT run. Enjoyable match here, Dr. Trey, as Mandy Rose retains.
Yeah, I mean, a little bummed out because I was hoping that Mandy was getting the call-up. I don't know if anybody has progressed as far in the ring as Mandy Rose since maybe the Bella Twins.
Wow.
Like, the Bells were god, you know, they were god-awful, and then they got decent by the end of their run, and Mandy's kind of the same way. Mandy wasn't very good, and now she's actually one of the better workers I think we have in WWE. So, really enjoyed the match. Good work for all those ladies. I was kind of pulling for Blair Davenport, though.
Yeah, same. I think she's highly, highly talented. I mean, this was out of all the people in the match, Mandy Rose was like the least likely that you figured would get the victory out of Miko Satomura and Blair Davenport, and she did, and she deserves it. She's been fantastic over the last year plus on the NXT Women's Division. Next match is Katana Chance and Kaden Carter defeating Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. to retain the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. We both had Chance and Carter victory. This was a strange match. Chance and Carter never really seemed in it, and the purpose of this match was for Toxic Attraction to cost Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. the championship. I would have liked to have seen Chance and Carter be able to showcase they belong in that spot, and that wasn't accomplished, for my opinion. Dr. Trey, what say you on this one?
Yeah, this is one of those, like, this is one of those early Daniel Bryan winning the Money in the Bank and cashing in booking, where it's like the really, really undersized babyface gets dominated and skates by the skin of their teeth on a fluke, kind of. You know, I didn't really like the Toxic Attraction run in because I get it. They want to be the ones that take out Chance and Carter, but it's still heel attacking heel type thing. I'm not a big fan of that type of thing. And I think Kaden and Katana, which, by the way, now, I mentioned how great the name Elton Prince is. Katana Chance is still a horrible name. But, you know, I really wish they would get a chance to actually showcase what they knew, because those girls are, like, super talented. And the stuff that Katana Chance can do in a ring, just physically, like, she's basically the female Rey Mysterio when he first broke into wrestling, with how incredibly flexible and fast she can be. So, yeah, a little disappointed in that match.
Then finally, the main event here, Bron Breakker defeats Tyler Bate to win the Unified NXT Championship and NXT UK Championship. Dr. Trey and I both had Bron Breakker. Great match. Lots of good back and forth from Bate and Breakker. Tyler Bate is so good. I love watching his matches, and Bron Breakker continues to improve in each and every match he has had. Enjoyable performance from both guys. I like this one, Dr. Trey. Breakker defeats Tyler Bate.
Is this the match you're hoping for, where Bate brings out more of Bron Breakker? Because I'm watching the match, and that's all I can think of is...
Yeah.
Jeff said he wanted Tyler Bate to bring up more of Bron Breakker, and I thought he did that. So
agreed.
Really, really good match. Tyler Bate is so underrated. And Bron Breakker showed that he can wrestle a little bit, that he can work a match. So, and then I'm excited to see the JD McDonagh stuff coming up again, because I love JD McDonagh. So, but really, really entertaining match. A good way to close out the show.
I went 2-3 in my predictions. Dr. Trey went 3-2. Event rating and match of the night, I gave Worlds Collide a 3.6. My match of the night was Carmelo Hayes and Ricochet. I love that match.
Yeah, I was at a 3.4. Like, I thought it was a good show, but not great. But I had Carmelo and Ricochet as well.
Yeah, good show. If anybody did not get a chance to go back and watch the show at all, I would go out of my way for alone to watch Carmelo Hayes and Ricochet. I know we're going to get it all out here, but I think this was... maybe the best match of the weekend, personally, Dr. Trey. I thought Carmelo Hayes and Ricochet really delivered.
See, I guess I'm way higher on Sheamus and Gunther than you were, because like, that's like your third or fourth match of the weekend, and I'm like, that was my favorite match of the whole weekend.
Yeah, no, that was. I mean, I think if I was looking from a WWE standpoint, going back to my Clash of the Castle stuff, like I loved Reigns and McIntyre. I would go Carmelo Hayes, Ricochet 1, Reigns, McIntyre 2, Gunther, Sheamus 3.
See, I would basically flip. Like, I had Gunther and Sheamus 1, and Ricochet and Carmelo 2, and then I think the Reigns-McIntyre finish let me down, because I really wanted to see Drew win in the UK. The Gunther-Sheamus one I get kind of a pass on, because Gunther's from Germany, and it's kind of European at least. So it's like, that one I can live with, but like, not seeing Drew get the win in the UK when he really, really deserved it kind of irritated me.
Do we think those are the three top WWE matches from the weekend, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I think those are the top three. And then Breakker and Bate would probably be 4 for me.
Breakker and Bate would definitely be in there. Yeah, I think that's probably Riddle and Rollins was good too.
Yeah, that would have been my five.
Yeah, and then maybe just on the outskirts, I would add the NXT Tag Team Championship match. I enjoy that one.
Yeah, but I hate random run-ins in a four-way just because it's like, need it. You already have four teams. There's enough distraction going on.
I really wanted to add the damage control and Asuka, Alexa Bliss, Bianca Belair match in this, but I felt like it was way too noticeable that Bayley was like calling the shots for Dakota and Io.
Yeah, and like I said, and plus like the fact that like I went back and rewatched that match to see what took Asuka and Alexa out so they could do all those moves at the end of the match to close it out. And I was like, really? That took them out for 5 minutes? Like, that didn't seem like it was a lot. So that the ending of that match I was really kind of irritated with.
All right, speaking of irritating, AW All Out. Recap and review here. Basically, this is a show that days later made no freaking sense. So for the most part, so let's get into it here. 0 hour matches. Sammy Guevara and Tay Mello defeat Ortiz and Ruby Soho to retain the AAA Mixed Tag Team Championship. We did not predict this match. I thought the match was fine. Sammy and Tay have insane amount of heat right now. The Tay KO to Ruby causing a broken nose was a nasty hit. And then how many more times is Ruby Soho going to lose in AEW? Like, this is just insane to me. Dr. Trey, any thoughts on the AAA Mixed Tag Team Championship match?
I'm living in a world where Ruby Soho is on 0 hour in a mixed tag match, yet Toni Storm gets to be the women's champion. So, and I love Toni Storm, but Ruby Soho is the best technical wrestler in AEW, and she's getting her nose broken because Ty Conti can't do a freaking move.
I mean, we'll talk about it here in a little bit, but Athena's taking L's as well. So,
yeah.
Hook defeats Angelo Parker to retain the FCW championship. We both had Hook getting the victory. This match saw the most offense from an opponent of Hook's we have seen in AEW thus far. I like Hook's upside, but we have to see a little bit more from him in the ring soon as his matches are coming off pretty one-dimensional and repetitive from each and every match that he has. Rapper Action Bronson, who sings his theme song, comes out to make the save once the former 2.0 is putting the boots to Hook post-match, and it looks like we're going to be getting Action Bronson and Hook taking on 2.0 in the Grand Slam event in a couple weeks in Queens, New York. Dr. Trey, your thoughts here as Hook gets the victory?
Hook needs to get bigger. Angelo Parker, not bad worker. I liked his performance in the match. Can we stop getting random people that nobody's ever heard of that do rap songs to actually be involved in AEW?
You don't know. Action Bronson is a big deal, but I get it. We're old now.
I literally thought that was like Bill Kazmaier or Tank Abbott jumping the rail. I didn't know who the hell that was.
Yeah, no, I can understand. I mean, I didn't know who West Side Gunn was anyway. So
yeah, it was that, and then I don't know who the guy that was that did Daniel Bryan's song either.
Yeah, oh, that, by the way, I mean, this could be a show in itself. I thought that was a girl singing the song.
I thought that was Macklemore.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, I thought that was Macklemore because I actually saw him today on Good Morning America. So
this is what happens, folks. When Dr. Trey and I get old, we don't know who musicians are anymore. I'm sure there's some young kids that are like, how the hell do they not know who West Side Gunn is?
And I know who I know who Jelly Roll is. Does that count?
Who the hell is Jelly Roll?
Exactly. That's my point. Who the hell is Action Bronson?
All right, next match. Pac defeats Kip Sabian to retain the AEW All-Atlantic Championship. We both had Kip Sabian. Good match. Kip looked good in the ring for the first time in a year and a half. I'm not sure why you have Kip sitting in the crowd with a box over his head for over a year, only for him to lose his first match back. Dr. Trey, what the hell? What did Kip Sabian do to Tony Khan?
I mean, Kip was trying to think outside the box, and it didn't work, so he's got to get back inside the box.
Dad jokes. That's what we got here, folks.
That's why I don't know Action Bronson. I'm making dad jokes here, Jeff. That's what it is. I thought it was a good match. I love Kip Sabian. I think he's going to be, like, if he was ever moved to NXT, like, he would... How well would Kip Sabian thrive in that JD McDonagh role in NXT?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, certain guys you look at and you go, yeah, he's a star, and he's not getting pushed like one. Like, Sabian's – and then when you have Penelope Ford at ringside with you, why are you not a bigger deal? So, it just – like, Pac's fantastic. We all love Pac. We all love the Bastard. But, you know, in this moment – and then especially, like, you know, 72 hours later, it's like, damn, they really should put the belt on Kip Sabian because you put a belt on Pac 72 hours later. So that part kind of sucked. But it was a fun match, and I love Kip Sabian. But then arguing with the box post match was also great.
It was. That was pretty funny. Next match here is Eddie Kingston defeating Tomohiro Ishii. I had Tomohiro Ishii, Dr. Dre, Eddie Kingston. Fun, hard-hitting match. It felt like it was a tribute to Japanese strong-style wrestling. Great stuff by Kingston and Stone Pitbull. What else can you say about this one? This was a fun one.
Yeah, this one, like, just for old school, just violent, you know, hard-hitting matches. I mean, it wasn't, to me, as good as Gunther and Sheamus, but, I mean, this was, like, if you want to watch, like, the European strong style versus what Japanese strong style is, watch these two matches, you can kind of get a complete, you can explain to somebody really quickly what those styles are if you watch those two matches. But, yeah, fun hard-hitting match. I like both those guys, and I think both guys still look pretty good. It wasn't like one side dominated the other, so that's good, at least.
Now to the main show. The Joker, a.k.a. MJF, defeats Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, Penta El Zero, Miedo, Rey Fénix, Rush, Andre El Idolo, and Dante Martin to win the Casino Ladder match for an AEW World Championship match. I had Andrade, Dr. Trade, Claudio. I understand the reason why they did it from a storyline standpoint, but it felt like we were cheated out of this match, especially for the fact that these guys did insane spots for that finish. The concept of a Royal Rumble-style ladder match is kind of dumb, because every time they do a casino ladder match, all the participants enter. So why does it matter to do a Royal Rumble-style ladder match anyway? Just have everybody in there at once if you're going to book it as such every time, or shake it up and have someone win it before all the participants are out. I did not like this match, Dr. Trey. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I love that when Wheeler's in there to start the match, you're like, he could win it right now before even, like, you know, the next six people come in the ring. I'm like,
yeah,
what the hell? Like, what's the point? Like, I would literally just, like, clock the guy with the ladder or a chair and run up and get it. I mean, and then if I'm in the back and I see a guy climbing up, I'm going to run out and knock his ass off. Like, it doesn't make sense. So, and then when Stokely climbed the ladder, I had James Ellsworth flashbacks for a moment. And then, you know, I'm like, I kind of was like hoping that Stokely was the Joker. I was kind of hoping that Stokely was going to be the one that cashed in and just let the five guys beat up whoever the champ was, so Stokely could be world champion. But I'm told he's the best talker in wrestling as far as a manager goes. And Jeff, I'm better than Stokely Hathaway. He's not that great.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Next match here. The Elite defeat Hangman Page and Dark Order to win the AEW World Trios Championship. We have a lot to talk about them here in a little bit. We both had the Elite getting the victory. I know, right? Great match. Hangman Page backing Silver and Reynolds off of the Elite's injured areas, plus Hangman hitting the Buckshot Lariat on Silver to cost them that match. It was really nice storytelling that probably will not be followed up now. It will be interesting to see how, if AEW ever follows that up now. Props to Silver and Reynolds for getting this opportunity all out and taking full advantage of it. They are very talented guys. I do feel bad for Alex Reynolds, who got injured in this one. This was a great match, Dr. Trey. Your thoughts?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on Chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
No, I like the match a lot. I thought it was really good storytelling. The announcers did a great job of selling, you know, the virtues of everybody as well. Like, they told the backstory of how, you know, Hangman was the guy that the Bucks first asked to be in this tournament, and then Hangman turned him down. That's why they got with Kenny. And then talking about how long Reynolds and Silver have been tagging, so that, you know, that backstory kind of builds up to, hey, they're not brothers, but they've been tagging as almost as long as anybody else. I love the Buckshot Lariat on Silver, because Hangman had to swing his arm really, really low to catch John Silver because he's so short. But overall, it was a really, really fun match, really enjoyable. I don't know. I knew the Elite was going to win, but there's part of me that, I mean, Silver and Reynolds have not held gold in AEW yet. And those guys, those guys are two of the most entertaining guys since this company started, and how far they've come since their first debut when they were just basically being brainwashed into the Dark Order. So I was kind of secretly hoping they would pull it off, but it was a good match, and then it really doesn't amount to crap 72 hours later.
Next match here is Jade Cargill defeating Athena to retain the AEW TBS championship. We both had Jade Cargill getting the victory. Quick match. Cargill looked much better in this match. Athena is suffering from the same thing Ruby Soho goes through by having a big debut but not having many wins. Dr. Trey, any thoughts on Cargill retaining?
If you said she looked better, I'll take your – I watched it. I didn't think she looked any better because, like, Athena was covering up so many times that Jade was out of position. She wasn't in the right spot, or her feet were, like, she was just kind of all over the place. Like, she can hit her moves, but anytime somebody's doing offense to her, she's out of place, and that poor person has to kind of make it work somehow. So that was a really rough looking match. But I mean, Jade coming out looking like She-Hulk, I mean, she looks like a pro wrestler, she talks like a pro wrestler. It's just, I'm hoping she learns how to be a pro wrestler.
Yeah, the clock's ticking on that, right? I mean, there's only so much the fans are going to wait patiently for her to eventually break out. Like, we all know that there's potential there. We've talked about it ad nauseum here on the show.
I just don't want her to be Mason Ryan.
Wow. Or Ezekiel Jackson.
Or who is the guy that you love that I told you was not going to amount to much and then he was gone?
Lars Sullivan?
Lars Sullivan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Braun Strowman was in there for a little bit, too.
Yeah.
But he's back now. Wardlow and FTR defeat Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns in a trios match. We both had Wardlow and FTR. It was a fine match, tough act to follow from the trios championship match. Never felt like Lethal and Motor City Machine Guns really had a shot at winning this one. Fun segment with Dax Hardwood's daughter, Finley, snapping Sanjay's pencil and then pinning for the 1-2-3. It was a fine match, Dr. Trey. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was fine. It's just one of those ones where it kind of sucks that you're like, yeah, there's no way that you have arguably the hottest guy in your company, Wardlow, plus your best tag team going up against a team from Impact and, you know, poor Jay Lethal, who, you know, barely can buy a win in AEW. It never felt like it was going to be competitive. But, you know, seeing Sydney get the win at the end over Sanjay was cool.
Finley, not Sydney.
I thought her name was Sydney. Why?
Finley. It's all right.
Is she named after Fit Finley?
Maybe. Dax is definitely a big fan of wrestling.
Yeah, so, okay. So, Finley, I'm sorry, Finley. It's just also a boy's name, sorry. But, yeah, so seeing Finley get the win was great. The snapping of the pencil was great. Like, that was the highlight for it. But also, Sanjay's shirt was fantastic as a guy that's a heel. So
it was. He was definitely get some heel heat there. So props. Good payoff.
Crossing out girl and riding in there, fight like an 8-year-old brat. I loved it. Such good heel heat.
Powerhouse Hobbs defeats Ricky Starks. We both had Ricky Starks getting the victory. Quick and stunning result for Powerhouse Hobbs getting the victory. A much needed win for Powerhouse Hobbs, but still surprising. Ricky does come off like the sympathetic babyface after this one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he got his ass whooped. I mean, that's basically what it came down to. You and I thought it was gonna be at least be competitive, but yeah, like it was competitive for about the first like 2 minutes, and then Hobbs just ran away. Then that spine buster looks so damaging. So hey, if they can push him, I mean, they made a huge star out of Wardlow kind of doing the same thing. If you just put Hobbs on the same track, Hobbs and Wardlow down the line for the TNT title, if Hobbs gets pushed correctly, it could be a really compelling matchup.
Swerve and Our Glory defeat the Acclaim to retain the AEW World Tag Team Championship. Dr. Trey and I both had Swerve and Our Glory. Fun match, great showing by the Acclaim as they deserve to be in that spot. I wonder if Tony Khan is kicking himself for not putting the titles on the Acclaimed at All Out, as the crowd was really behind them. But maybe they are now saving that for the Dynamite Grand Slam event in a couple weeks. Dr. Trey, your thoughts on this one, a Swerve and Our Glory retain?
Yeah, this is a really, really good tag match. I loved it. The storytelling with Bowen's ankle and everything else, like, that was all, or knee, it might have his knee, but it was all really well done. I love that there's this weird tension between Swerve and Keith Lee. Like, Keith Lee, if you watched the media scrum afterwards, which I'm sure you did, like, there's this weird, like, contrast of Swerve's personality being kind of, you know, that tweener character, and Keith Lee's always kind of maintaining, like, professional decorum. We saw a little bit of, you know, Swerve coming out on Dynamite Wednesday night, you know, and, you know, antagonizing the Acclaimed as well. But overall, like, you're right. Like, I have never been that big of a fan of the Acclaimed early on in their AEW career, but they've kind of won me over. having daddy ass in their corner also helps. So, I mean, talk about dad jokes right there. But yeah, I mean, the scissor me daddy stuff is hilarious. I can't say anything else about it. So they've tapped into something and they're just riding the lightning right now. So hopefully Tony reverses course, because right now they're your money guys right now in AEW in the tag team division.
Tony Storm defeats Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, Jamie Hayter, and Hikaru Shida to win the interim AEW Women's World Champ. Jeff Dottore and I both had Tony Storm. Happy for Tony to get the women's title. I like that we finally saw tension between Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Overall, I thought the match was fine. Dr. Trey, what do you think about our new women's champion in the Fatal 4-Way?
Yeah, I'm glad to see her get a win. She's put in the work in AEW. Just like I said, I'm just still surprised that we're sitting here almost a year since Ruby Soho debuted, but yet Tony gets the title before her. And then I don't get the tension between Hayter and Baker, because it is a Fatal 4-Way. So did Jamie Hayter think that Britt would let her win a match? Like, I don't get that. I don't get when they bring tension out from Fatal 4-Ways, because, like, it's every person for themselves. It's like a battle royal. It's like a Royal Rumble. You're a pro wrestler. You know how this goes down. So I don't get the manufactured tension from this being the angle. If they had done it somewhere else, hey, it makes sense. But right here, that's what these matches are for. Every person tries to win. Don't get mad if your friend costs you the match, because they want to win also. Like, it just confuzzling.
Next match here is Christian Cage defeating Jungle Boy. I had Jungle Boy, Dr. Ray, Christian Cage. Speaking of, what did you say, befuddling?
Yeah.
Speaking of befuddling, Luchasaurus' heel turn to face turn, back to heel turn, was very confusing and weird booking. I wonder if that has anything to do with the reported Christian Cage injury that's now resulting in surgery, as Jungle Boy alluded to on Wednesday's Dynamite. The quick result sold the beatdown pre-match. The feud has been really good, heading in all out, so I was hoping for a little more. It was nice to see Jungle Boy finally adding Jack Perry to his ring name, as I think it's also time to grow out of being called Jungle Boy. So I guess this was a lot of protection for the real injury to Christian Cage. Dr. Trey, from a match standpoint, Luchasaurus is now taking a page out of Big Show's book, volleying back and forth from heel to face to heel. Thoughts on this one?
Well, I called this. Last week's show, I called the heel turn by Luchasaurus. So I wasn't shocked by it, because I thought the evil Luchasaurus we saw like a month and a half, 2 months ago looked pretty cool. So I'm kind of excited to see where this goes, because he was kind of the odd man out. Like, he had kind of been pushed to the background in this rivalry. But you're right. Like, if your name is Jungle Boy, at some point you can't be Jungle Boy. You either have to add your real name or become Jungle Man or something. I mean, we still have the Heartbreak Kid running around at like 50 some odd years old, but still. At some point, you got to add the Jack Perry there. Plus, I like the, you know, bringing up his dad and stuff like that, because, I mean, people know who Luke Perry was, and it makes a lot of sense for you to have that little bit of legacy going for you in the world of professional wrestling. So, the match worked for what we had to deal with Christian's injury, which sucks, because, I mean, every time he gets ready to get back in the ring, he gets hurt again. So now I'm more worried about Christian's health than anything else. So, but at least we'll get some Jungle Boy Luchasaurus matches coming out of it, which should be pretty fun. I love little guy giant matches.
Next match is Lionheart Chris Jericho defeating American Dragon Brian Danielson. We both had Brian Danielson getting the victory. Solid match, and what you would expect between Jericho and Danielson. Props that Jericho keeps his high level in his 50s. Finish made sense with Daniel Garcia's storyline going on. We will see this play out this Wednesday on Dynamite in part of the championship tournament, which we'll get to here in a little bit. Dr. Trey, thoughts as Jericho defeats Brian Danielson, who is now 0-3 against Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Danielson's become that guy that just puts everybody over, because he put over Garcia. He's now put over Jericho. Like, he's just putting everybody over, so you got to give him credit for that. But then, you know, he beat Hangman, so he gets a little bit of his get a little bit of his stroke back, so to speak. But I really enjoyed the match. Jericho, a year ago, we were making fun of for being flabby and stuff, and he looks, I mean, he's not as, doesn't look as great as he did when he was 25, but none of us do. But for a guy in his early 50s, as looks as good as he does, moves as well as he does, I will say he's got to drop the Judas effect, because he cannot throw that back elbow very well, but everything else he does in the ring looks fantastic and crisp. So props to those guys for putting on a hell of a match.
Next match here is Darby Allin, Sting, and Miro defeating the House of Black. We had Darby, Sting, and Miro getting the victory, both of us. The match dragged a little bit. I enjoyed seeing the dynamics of Miro fighting the House of Black, as they are pretty similar when it comes to their power and how they are dominantly booked. I like how Sting sprayed the mist in Malakai Black's eyes to help get the pin. And then now we just wonder what the House of Black's future is with the rumors of Malakai Black leaving AEW and getting his release granted. Dutch, share your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It was a little bit of, it was a weird mixture of like a good wrestling and nostalgia, because like seeing Sting bust out the mist, not to mention like Malakai Black, but a la the Great Muta that he fought earlier in his career, I thought was pretty cool. I was kind of trying to figure out like why Sting didn't do his typical yell like on his way down the ramp or something like that, and then it's like, oh yeah, he's holding the mist in his mouth. So makes a lot of sense, and like it was enjoyable, but you know, not match of the year quality type stuff.
And then finally here, the main event for the AEW World Championship, CM Punk defeats Jon Moxley. We both had CM Punk in the victory. Moxley dominated most of the match. I did like the finishing sequence for Punk to get the pin with two GTSs and Moxley landing on Punk after the first one. I don't understand why they did this match 2 weeks ago if Punk was going to win the title again. MJF closes out the show and makes it known he's coming for the AEW World Championship. We all know now that this is means nothing in the world of wrestling, Dr. Trey, but let's talk about the match itself before we get into all the other hijinks.
Yeah, the match on its own merit, I thought was a really good match. I enjoyed it. Punk being the babyface in Chicago, Moxley playing a little more of the heel to that crowd. Punk constantly trying to overcome, you know, each time Moxley broke him down. I mean, the bleeding in that match, oh my God. Like, Moxley licked the man's blood. Like, that's crazy. But yeah, it does kind of make you, like, I don't understand the win a couple days earlier, because he didn't really sell anything from that match as a carryover into this one. Like, he just goes, it wasn't the foot thing. It wasn't really, like, there was no selling from the previous match to make you think why, you know, an area for Punk to, or for Moxley to focus on or whatever. So it's confusing in the sense, unless somebody just said, hey, I'll let you win this one if you let me win the one in Chicago. You know, that's the most logical thing I can come up with. But the match itself, I like I said, I really enjoyed the match. It was one of my most favorite matches from All Out. So it was pretty damn good.
Event rating, or excuse me, pay-per-view prediction record, I went 8-6 on the show. Dr. Trey went 10-4. So we close out the weekend. I'm sitting at 87-41. Dr. Trey at 78-50. Event rating, match of the night, I gave All Out a 3.4. I did not enjoy the show all that much. This is before all the hijinks that happened afterwards. My match of the night, I gave it to Elite Dark Order and Hangman Page.
So I didn't watch this Sunday. I actually watched this at the Sweet Tater Festival in Coleman, Alabama, while I was in the rain waiting for people to walk by my booth. So I was able to watch the entire show sitting there. I was at maybe I liked it a little more than you. I was at 3.5, so we were still pretty close. Like, I thought it was okay to good, but nothing fantastic about it. Even the Joker stuff, like, was different in a sense, and I liked the play-in of the music and the fake voicemail and all that. So I liked all that stuff. It was entertaining, but overall, it was good, but not great. And my match tonight was actually the Acclaim versus Swerve and Their Glory. I just really liked that tag match.
Yeah, a lot of people love that match. Is it Swerve in Their Glory or Swerve in Your... How does their tag team name?
I think it's Swerve in Our Glory.
Swerve in Our Glory. They're a good tag team. And I'm with you on the thing that you said earlier about how they always go off about this tension between one another. But it does feel like right now that we are just waiting for the Acclaim to become tag team champions. Right, Dr. Trey?
I mean, if you have the number one t-shirt in the company, you should probably get some gold around your waist. That's usually how you capitalize on it even more and get even more shirt sales out of it. I mean, WWE didn't really do it with The Fiend, but, you know, most of the time, whoever the top merchandise guy is, they usually have a belt.
All right, so now it's time to get everything that happened post AEW All Out, which I'm sure many people are waiting to hear our thoughts on. So thanks for bearing with us in the three pay-per-views that we covered. So
we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Until then, this is the Stuart Delta Show. I was still up late midnight, Dr. Trey, and I was like checking Twitter. So after the show ended, like maybe 12:30, and I never watched the post media scrums. They're up on YouTube, and I'm checking Twitter, and I see early Monday morning, I see that people are like losing their shit about what CM Punk's saying right now. So I go on to YouTube, and I'm sitting there, and I scroll back to Punk's comments, and my jaw is just dropping. Like, I am like in shock. Like, there are so many different angles here from the media scrum standpoint. I think CM Punk has every right to defend his relationship with Colt Cabana, Scott Coughlin, and to address that head on, because it did get a little out of control in wrestling journalism. Like, there was a narrative being played that CM Punk basically got the guy fired and moved to ROH, which we don't know if it's true or not still. And he is saying all these things sitting next to a shocked and quite honestly looking dumb Tony Khan. Like, just looking completely dumb that this is going on and allowing this to happen. Like, that's the first part. Like, I think CM Punk had every right to defend it. And then when he starts talking about how much of a, like, I think the words were stupid fuck Hangman Page is, like, brainless stupid fuck, and the EVPs that are leaking the story, the three EVPs who are childish and couldn't even run, I think he said, a fucking Target. Was, I believe, the words. As, again, Tony Khan is sitting there, not saying, hey, man, let's stop this or whatever. Like, do we have to do this? I mean, at this point, like, Tony Khan, I don't know what I would have done. Like, Tony Khan was in a lose-lose situation.
Wrap the fucking shit up.
Yeah, like, okay, this is enough. This is not working the way I want it to. They're asking about MJF returning, and Punk is very straight to the point on that about, this part, I don't know if it was storyline or facts, to be honest with you. I don't know if he got into more story. The other stuff, Paige and the Elite and Colt Cabana, we know that was not a work. That was a shoot. Everybody has been thinking that it was a work. It's not a work. I'll get into the reasons why here in a little bit from my standpoint. But then when he starts getting the MJF stuff and the grass isn't only green, always green on the other side, but Max tends to like shit on the grass that he's currently on or whatever he said. And they asked, like, hey, what do you think about working with MJF again? That appears where you're headed towards for All Out. And I encourage everybody, if you didn't watch it, Dr. Trey, or need to rewatch it, I encourage everybody to go back to this point. Because CM Punk says, because Tony likes me working with a bunch of pricks. Tony Khan has, like, at this point, finally has, like, a face of disgust where he, like, rolls his eyes, shakes his head, and, like, has no idea what to say at that point. So I would say for the Colt Cabana stuff, he had every right to defend. The EVP stuff, keep it in-house. The MJF stuff, I'm thinking, is a work. So that's where I look at the overall grandiose CM Punk media scrum. Highly entertaining. Would watch again. Watching like the Titanic sinking / a car crash over and over again. Those are my thoughts. Where did you stand on the media scrum? And then at what point did you, like, find out that this was going on? Did you hear about it the next day? Did you go out of your way to watch it? What were your thoughts on Punk's press conference?
So I was about to go to bed roughly about 11:30 Sunday night. And I, like you, I kind of saw, like, oh my God, like, CM Punk just went off on, you know, basically most of all Elite Wrestling. And I was like, oh, so let me, so I did a little searching, found it on YouTube, watched it. And like you, like, the press conference was amazing because Punk, like, nobody even asked him a question to start the press conference. Like, they called on a guy, and he was like, hey, are you going to be an ass? Like, basically, asking, are you going to be an asshole? Like, do you consider yourself a journalist? And the guy was like, yeah, you know, we've met before. Yeah, and then boom, right into stuff about Colt Cabana. Like, it was unprompted.
Can I just interject there as to why he went into that? Do you know why he went into that right off the jump, Punk?
Because I believe that person that he was talking to was one of the people that had reported on the Colt Cabana stuff about him getting fired and going to, you know, getting fired from his job.
So Nick Hossman from Wrestling Inc. did improv with Colt Cabana for a group called Kayfabe. As if you watch it, Nick Hossman comes out and said, we don't see eye to eye. I did do it. I think Punk was, as he said, doing like an I got you moment, like, ha ha. And he actually, like, said, you blew up my spot. I think he saw Nick Hossman, figured he was part of the whole story about Colt Cabana. He obviously did report it at Wrestling Inc. And then was completely undercut there because Nick was like, no, I actually don't see eye to eye with Scott Coughlin, and I'm not friends with him.
Okay. But, yeah. So, as soon as he went into the stuff about Colt Cabana, I was just like you, my jaws dropped the floor. Like, I have every email. I have every receipt. We found out that he has a bank account with his mother, and then we said, and then even called out his, like, Cabana's mom by name. We subpoenaed Marsha.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I was like, woo, okay. And then, you know, when he got into stuff about Hangman Page, and then I'm going to start going, okay, like, this is him coming out about all, basically, he's swinging at all the negative press that he's gotten over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I mean, he's been, I mean, CM Punk's been dumped on by every wrestling journalist and most fans for the last, and probably even us, over the last, like, 6 weeks. So he was just hot, and I was like, and then the funny part is, as he's saying these things about early on, he's saying these things, and Tony's not disagreeing. Like, when he brought this up about...
That's like, true.
He goes, I had nothing to do with Colt Cabana losing his job or getting demoted Ring of Honor. And Tony's, like, shaking his head, like, agreeing with him. Like, yep, he's absolutely right. He had nothing to do with it. Like, okay, you're allowed... At that point, I'm going, all right, you're allowing him to run with this part. And then when he started going into the stuff about the about Hangman Page, like, Tony's not, like, stopping him. And even then, he's not making faces like, oh, like... I was waiting for a facepalm. I was waiting for something to go, oh, shit, seriously, dude, you shut the... I was waiting for Tony to make that body language. He never did. Even when he said the stuff about the EVPs, I don't think Tony's eye roll was negative. I think Tony's eye roll was like, oh, God, I hate those guys, too, because we've heard about the issues with, you know, the EVPs and Tony Khan taking over all the booking and blah, blah, blah. So I took it as more of like he was still agreeing with Punk when he was saying these things about Kenny the Bucks, because as a person who's a manager of people, you have to de-escalate situations unless you agree with the situation. And I felt the entire time that Tony Khan was agreeing with everything CM Punk was saying, because he never made a motion like, hey, man, let's cut this off. Let's end the – I mean, you're the owner of the company. You can end the press conference at any time you want. He didn't do that. He allowed Punk to – you know, basically vent all this frustration out there. And then when he got into the MJF stuff, I kind of felt like he went back into kayfabe mode. Like,
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I mean, everybody, like, MJF is kind of a prick. I mean, he's a nice guy in real life if you meet him outside the ring, but anytime he's an MJF character, yeah, he's a prick. So, you know, he keeps wondering where these pricks or these kids, whatever it was. Like, I felt like there he kind of went back into kayfabe mode a little bit, because I don't know if you did this, but I went back and watched the promo or the scrum with Jericho, the scrum with Lee and Swerve, because I had never watched any of these before, so I wanted to see if it was mostly kayfabe or mostly shoot style. Like, Jericho was talking on his about how much he admires Bryan Danielson and what a great wrestler he is, and da da da. And I'm like, oh, okay, so these guys are basically more in shoot mode than work mode. So, but I felt like that was the line. Like, once he started talking about MJF and everything else, he went back into CM Punk pro wrestler and not pissed off Phil Brooks at all these other people.
Yeah, I don't know. The entire thing was like, CM Punk is well known to be a very hard personality. Back in 2012, I interviewed him for the first time in person. And I was beyond nervous because this is like a hero of mine in professional wrestling. I was super stoked to talk to him. But I also know that when an interview goes bad with him, like, it could be bad. And I feel like I've talked about this story on the podcast before, but I'll say it again. In the beginning of the interview, Punk is very like cold. And if you go into YouTube, just type in The Bauer Show, B-O-W-E-R, Bauer, B-O-W-E-R, The Bauer Show, 97.9 ESPN and CM Punk on YouTube, and you'll find the full interview. And it started out where Punk was very like cold and quiet. And then we got him to warm up and it was great. And he was very complimentary afterwards. We like won him over. He came on the show a bunch of other times. It was just phone interviews, always remembered us, always promoted us, and was great. We had a great relationship with him. I obviously We're not friends or anything. Like, I haven't heard from him ever since then. But it's he's a well-known dickhead. Like, it's well-known in professional wrestling circles. Like, he could be a jackass. And when he likes you, he really likes you. When he doesn't, he doesn't. So this was one of those instances where he was acting like a jackass. I felt like, again, that part of it was something that he needed to address, and he did it in the way that he needed to with the Colt Cabana stuff, which I'm fine with. The EVPs, Elite stuff, that should be behind closed doors. MJF stuff's a work. The entire overall media scrum in general, even more to this, and I know you mentioned Swerve and Our Glory. There were some parts where Swerve and Our Glory were questionable, work or shoot. Jericho was very cordial. Tony Storm had a couple eye rolls about the Thunder Rosa stuff. But at the end of it, I thought like Tony Khan was off his rocker. I mean, there was a part, you know, that he's talking about WWE and being bullied, and the WWE part where he didn't feel the love and he said plenty of nice things about them. All I can think to myself was he takes shots at them all the fucking time. Like, his entire promotion is built on taking shots at them, and he's not feeling the love and all this. I'm like, where the hell is he coming from? You know, they had Labor Day weekend to themselves and all this stuff. Like, WWE did a show on Saturday. It wasn't the same show as Day is All Out. They did a show on Sunday at 4 p.m. that ended after 6 p.m. East Coast time, well before Zero Hour, well before All Out. Like, what is he upset about? Like, they didn't try to go toe-to-toe with you on that standpoint. Like, it was absurd. And then he mentioned something about being bullied. And all I could think of, and this is the sports fan in me, Dr. Trey, and here we are, we sit, the NFL season kicks off. Tony Khan's family owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. You and I both know, as football fans, the Jacksonville Jaguars are a terribly run franchise in the NFL. They hired Urban Meyer last season as their head coach, and it blew up in their face. This is an Urban Meyer-type situation where they hired CM Punk, and we'll get into the backstage stuff here momentarily, but it is now currently blowing up in their face. Like, I mean, Tony Khan sound batshit crazy at the end of it. And that's been something that has been completely, brought up as an opinion lately. We haven't gotten to the backstage stuff yet that we haven't seen, but the stuff that we did was Tony Khan, like, sounding terrible. Like, I was so perplexed by that.
My favorite line in there was when he's about, like, they can come after me if they want to, but I have more money.
Like, what?
I was like, how are you being bullied if you're flaunting that you have more money? Like, that's like, you know, the rich kid who gets beat up and then goes, well, I'm just going to sue you. I'm just going to hire a bunch of guys and come kick your ass. That type of mentality. Like, it was, and then even, and I know we haven't touched on Dynamite yet, but even watching him read from the teleprompter on Dynamite about stripping, he never blinked. Yes. And my wife sitting there looking, going, what the fuck is wrong with that guy? He just looks like he's strung out on cocaine right now, reading from a teleprompter. I'm like, yeah, it was, he comes off like the bratty little rich kid. And if that's a character, great, but you can't walk a line where you're the bratty rich kid and then you're also like the manager stripping people of titles and instituting tournament. Like, you can't do both. Like, it's just a weird line to try to walk. And, you know, I go back to even when he was doing the Forbidden Store stuff and the Forbidden Door stuff in Impact. Like, on Dynamite, he'd come out like humble babyface. Then on Impact, he was kind of a jackass.
Yeah, douchebag. Like,
yeah, and I'm like, that's how he's coming off. He's coming off like, yeah, like, it's the, like, so we don't really have the preppy jackasses anymore in society. It's like these rich, nerdy jackasses.
Entitled.
And that's how he's coming across now.
Yeah, he's coming off entitled. Like, the Punk part, I mean, losing all of this is the shit he said about WWE that was, like, a huge head-scratcher. I've had nothing but nice things to say about them.
When did that happen? Yeah.
They have a staple that's built on making fun of WWE called the JAS, where they're sports entertainers, and the AW Galaxy, and Acknowledge Me, and all this stuff. Like, MJF just cut a promo in the ring on Wednesday's Dynamite about Nick Khan and Triple H and Cody Rhodes. Like, what the hell is wrong with him? Anyway, back to the Punk, Young Bucks stuff. So, media scrum gets over. According to reports, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega go to confront CM Punk in his locker room. There's obviously multiple story angles to this, but according to Punk's camp, the Young Bucks tried to kick the door down, but now that it's being said that wasn't actually factual. It was just like a way that they phrase it. They enter, they get into it. According to reports, CM Punk sucker punches Matt Jackson. Ace Steel throws a chair at Nick Jackson's face. I read today that Kenny Omega tried to grab CM Punk's dog, Larry, to give it to Ace Steel's wife. And then when Kenny Omega was trying to get Ace Steel, who is a producer for AEW and trained CM Punk and used to wrestle with CM Punk in various different promotions, most notably ROH and I think IWA Mid-South, thought that Kenny Omega was putting a crossface on him and bit Kenny Omega and pulled his hair. Kenny Omega, Matt Nick Jackson, Brandon Cutler, Michael Nakazawa, Christopher Daniels, and Pat Buck have all been suspended. There's a video of a security guard running to the back during Swerve and Our Glory's media scrum from a different angle. So there's all the suspensions right now. CM Punk and Ace Steel, we believe, are suspended, though that there's parts of it that are pending where they could be fired. One or both could be fired following this situation and let go. And everybody that's sitting there and saying, well, I still think it's a work. There's a lot of money in all this. And as the reports trickled in throughout the week, it's like, well, you know, they should try to make business out of this. And then you hear that both sides wanted nothing to do with one another and that it would never happen. The part where I realized, and then this kind of fast forwards a little bit to Dynamite now, and Dr. Trey bringing up Tony Khan's promo. So Tony Khan vacates both the AEW World Championship and Trios Championship. The reason why I think that this is not a work at all and is a straight shoot is because they made zero mention of it on last night's edition of Dynamite. And they made zero mention of it from my perspective because there are reports that an AEW employee watched the entire thing happen, and that's their chief legal officer, and that there's legal implications involved right now. There are reports out there that CM Punk's camp has threatened to sue the Elite, Nick and Matt Jackson and Kenny Omega. We don't know if he is threatened to sue AEW either as well. But if this was a work, they would have made some sort of mention to it. Go back to Dynamite. Everybody knew, was waiting for Max Caster to come out and cut something. Like, he does not shy away from anything. He mentions the stuff about Vince McMahon and the sexual harassment cases. But then again, Tony Khan says nice things about WWE. And they cut him right off. Great heat for Swerve Strickland. But they did that because they can't say anything. They can't say anything. They won't say anything. They are ignoring it. No mention of Punk. No mention of the Elite. No mention of the situation at all. Obviously, there was stuff that was alluding to it. But I think that this is such a serious situation right now because there's a ton of legalities around Dr. Trey that AEW can't capitalize on this and won't be capitalizing it on anytime soon. Lots to unpack here. But that's my opinion, that due to the potential legal ramifications of the entire situation, AEW cannot capitalize on something that we all know about.
Yeah, like it's... You also know to me that it's more of a work when the details keep changing. And, you know, when the reports officially first came out, there was no mention of the door being kicked in. Then the door was kicked in.
You mean being a shoot, not a work?
Yeah, I'm sorry, if it's a shoot. Sorry, my bad, I got sidetracked there. So, yeah, if it's a shoot... Usually if it's a work, the details don't change. Like, here's our story, we're sticking to this story. When it's a shoot, the details typically kind of change. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the Bucks stormed in. They kicked the door in. They didn't kick the door in. Ace Steel threw the chair because his wife was already holding Larry. But no. Wait, Kenny was making sure Larry was out of the way. And like, all these things kind of, there's no real story that comes out. And then you hear about Pat Buck and Christopher Daniels coming in to break up the fight, but yet they're suspended. Like, there's a lot of moving parts here that don't really make a ton of sense if it was a work. That's why, to me, this does kind of seem like a chaotic scene, just like any other kind of chaos that ensues. People can't remember every single detail that happens because the adrenaline's pumping, things are happening on the fly, and you just don't know. I do think it's oddly weird that it happened right in front of the head of legal. Like, how does it, like, if they had to go into a locker room to confront CM Punk, why was the person from legal right there? Like, that, am I the only person that's thought about that? Like, I don't know, if I haven't heard anybody say anything about that, but it just, if he has his own locker room, but yet everything happened in front of this person, how did she get into the locker room to see this happen? Like, that's confusing to me. But overall, like, it's just, you know, the legalities of, like, you know, you mentioned there's no mention of Punk or the Elite on Dynamite. I mean, when Moxley's cutting that impassioned promo about the AEW title and he talks about losing, he never said who he lost to. MJF, who is one of those guys that we think would say anything he could to get a rise out of the audience, didn't say anything. So it is weird that there was legitimately no mention of these individuals on the show at all. And I think you're right. I think a lot of it has to do with the legalities of it. Because not to mention, if it was just a confrontation between two groups of wrestlers, that's one thing. But the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are EVPs, which gives them a ranking of management in that company. And now you're having an altercation between management and an employee of the company, which is a whole different realm of legality. So, and then once again, I don't know, like, everything Punk said was right there in front of Tony Khan. Tony allowed it, but yet because of the fight, CM Punk could be fired. But isn't that Tony's fault for not stopping Punk mid, you know, media scrum and cut him off to where this does not escalate in the back? Like, Tony Khan's got to be standing there going, like, this is all his fault. Like, he allowed this to happen. This is something we talked about, like, you know, weeks and weeks ago about the inmates kind of running the asylum. That's what I feel like is happening here. This, I hate saying it, Jeff, this feels very Russo, end of WCW-esque type vibes when there's just chaos everywhere and nobody has the balls to kind of step up and take, you know, ownership of the situation and provide actual leadership.
Yeah, people are pointing, obviously, the line that you just said, leadership. There is no leadership. Everybody can say a lot what they can about Vince McMahon, but you knew who the leader was, and the buck stopped with him, and there was going to be no BS happening. Even during the Brett and HBK days, you know, he did the best he could to keep things under control with the company. There is an inmates running the asylum feeling there from AEW. It's kind of what it was built on, that this was going to be a wrestler's first promotion. And it's really, really, when you really look at this, like, it's very surprising. Like, a year ago, we had the first dance at the United Center. Punk debuts, and it was such a great moment in professional wrestling history. All Out 2021 happens, and I'll say it again. It is one of the best shows we've ever covered in the history of the Still Realto show, and this podcast has been going on for nearly 13 years as of this February. Everything since then has been a complete debacle. Like, there is a ton of writing on the wall. Cody leaving AEW, like, why does he leave? The stuff that's going on behind the scenes, the issues from All Out, obviously. Like, there is a complete lack of leadership. People are complaining about talent relations and being quietly let go and but not hearing anything from the company. Like, all the good stuff that's happened with AEW, it's getting really, really bashed. Like, they were, to me, the best wrestling promotion during the pandemic. Like, they, from March 2020 to May 2021, July 2021, when we started getting back on the road again, were the best show. They figured it out, and there was like an us versus them attitude. It was this family aspect from AEW, and it just made a ton of sense. They got back on the road. They made some signings, brought in a lot of WWE guys, and it just completely lost that same love and luster that we were once known to see with AEW. A lot has changed. People are requesting their releases, like Malakai Black. We don't know if CM Punk will ever wrestle again. We don't, for AEW. We don't know if the EVPs will be back. We don't know what the long term of this entire situation really is. We only are living in the now, and the now from a short term perspective is there's a bunch of suspensions. There could be some firings. There could be some legalities. Titles are vacated, stuff like that. Like Dynamite, the last 3 weeks, I saw Tony Khan before we recorded the show was touting that the last three episodes of Dynamite are well over 1 million viewers. Well, why is that? Because the storylines have been shit. Let's just be frank, right? The Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy stuff back and forth, not great. The way that Athena's and Ruby Soho's are booked, not great. Injuries, vacated titles. Why isn't FTR in the tag team title race? Like, there's a ton of stuff that is very confusing booking. People leave the Dark Order either by release or they join another group, and then there's no follow-up. There's no response as to why. how the Dark Order's handling a person like Anna Jay just leaving the stable altogether without no rhyme nor reason. Like, there's not a lot of good storylines. They're tuning in, Tony, because of all the bullshit that's going on behind the scenes and what's being reported. Like, it's juicy, dramatic details. And people are saying, well, Punk is to blame for all this, but there is a big contentious part that's also saying that the last 8 weeks where it's been so bad and there's been so much drama, CM Punk hasn't even been around because he's been injured. We even got to the fact that CM Punk was injured during the match yet and that he potentially tore his triceps and could be out for 8 to 9 months anyway. There's just no leadership, Dr. Trey. The product isn't as good as it was on the television screen. The product behind the scenes is coming out to the open now as just being a sinking ship and a clusterfuck. It's like, get your popcorn ready because you're tuning in and you're watching it. All I can think of is, and Lord love him, I'm a huge fan of his, is when Taz got on the microphone during a promo on Dynamite during that pandemic era, and he called, he said that we are not a sloppy shop, pointing like WWE is. AEW is like the sloppiest of sloppy we've seen. And we've covered some shit here. It's WCW-esque, Vince Russo era. What's that? What?
Oh, just we've covered some shit here. I mean, you're right.
Oh, like, we have. Dixie Russo, Carter.
WCW.
Dixie Carter Bischoff, era of Hogan TNA. Era. Yeah. Yep, Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan era. Like, it's been there. Like,
went through all the...
What's that?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
We went through the era of WWE releasing over 100 talents.
Yes.
Recently.
Yes.
You know, 2014 when 3/4 of the WWE roster was, you know, injured, and you and I thought about quitting the show because of how bad wrestling was.
Oh my god!
Like, yeah, covered some shit.
Yeah, no, we have covered some shit, and I think that this is some of the top of that shit. Like, let's not forget that 4 weeks ago, WWE had its own shit with the sexual harassment cases, John Laurinaitis, Vince McMahon, Vince is retiring. They've turned the corner. People are loving Triple H right now in the way that he's booking the show. Let's be honest. We're all wrestling fans. We all sit on Twitter. We all sit on these podcasts. We tune in each and every week. We know that eventually people will not love the way that Triple H is booking. It's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. That's all it is. It's the same thing when years ago when AEW was really cooking and it's like people are loving it right now. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when people start bitching. And we've gone past the realm of bitching about the stuff that's on the screen and now we're bitching about the stuff behind the scenes. No matter where you sit, if you're on Team Punk and Ace Steel, Team Elite and Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, no matter where you sit, ultimately as a wrestling fan, as a fan of AEW, this is embarrassing as all hell. These are some of the top people, if not the top people, in your company, and they have let down the fans, the roster, the promotion. Punk, Bucks, Omega, every single one of them have let down the promotion. Tony Khan. And then you hear about the talent meeting attending Dynamite, and you've got Moxley, you've got Danielson, you've got Jericho, like rallying the troops. They had a very solid Dynamite, but let's be honest, the troops that are presently there were like, fuck this, we're not letting this define us coming out of one of our biggest shows of the year, because the crap that happened after All Out, no matter how juicy and dramatic it was, and how many people tuned in for the Patreon for Fightful Select to see all the latest stuff and all the scoops, this overshadowed the pay-per-view that were, quite honestly, nobody gave a fuck. And now we're sitting here and they're just trying to turn the corner the best that they can for AEW, but they should be embarrassed. They embarrassed the promotion, the roster, the fans, everybody. Like, this is not a great situation at all, Dr. Trey.
No, and what I'm thinking about is, if you ever watch those prison movies, and not the cheesy ones, but the ones where it's like, there are distinct factions within a prison, right? There's everybody has their own gang. I kind of feel the same with AEW. Like, you have the Punk FTR group, like those guys, and anybody who, you know, those are their guys. They have their clique. And then you have the clique with Kenny, the Bucks, the Elite over there. Then you have, I mean, this Jericho, Moxley, Danielson clique. And then you have the bottom of the roster that kind of feels like there's respect. Like, there's four factions to this. And one of the things that Tony Khan said in the media scrum, I think, illustrates the problem with the company. He said he's a giver. He's a pleaser. If you have these four distinct factions, you can't please everybody. And at that point, you have to stop being a pleaser and become the warden. Step up and take control of your company before it falls apart. I just feel like he's getting pulled in so many directions, and every single one of these groups has a money-making attribute to it, so it's hard for him to cut one side off to please the other side because he feels like he's going to lose out if he does. You can see him like almost like literally being pulled in all these different directions, but that's just what a leader does. A leader goes, no, this is how we're going to do it. This is how this is going to be run. You either get in line or you step out. And a lot of it is you see all these guys from WWE coming in that are used to things being done a certain way. This place is not being done like that. They want to instill their values because they think it's right because the other place made a lot more money than this place does. And then you get that back and forth power struggle. Like, look at, I mean, the people that you hear about complaining and wanting to be released are the people that came over from WWE thinking that this is going to be a much better place. And they're seeing that it's not. Like, Malakai Black, Ruby Soho, Athena, even Thunder Rosa to a degree coming in from NWA, Miro. Like, you see all these guys who, like, are Andrade looks like they're unhappy. It's because they were used to a different way. And their way was much more organized, and this is like jumping into chaos. I mean, this is why it kind of feels like the end of the Monday Night Wars, where WCW descended into chaos and WWE galvanized. And, you know, I love when you brought up that some people are going to start hating on Triple H's booking. We kind of saw it a little bit at Clash of the Castle when people were upset that, you know, Drew didn't get a belt, Sheamus didn't win. Like, there were some people questioning the booking, but it's overshadowed by all the crap that's happening in AEW right now. So Triple H gets to get away scot-free here, and then he makes everybody happy by bringing Braun Strowman back in on Monday. So it's kind of like right now WWE can't do anything wrong. Because even if they do, it gets overshadowed by the dumpster fire that's going on backstage in AEW right now.
Which is just shocking. I mean, if you go back to Clash of the Castle, you could actually hear fans when I think Tyson Fury or Drew, one of the two, that was on the microphone at the end of the show, like, singing. Fans were chanting AEW. Like, you could hear it. And then a day later, AEW just completely shit the bed. Like, they literally ran a pay-per-view that meant nothing now. Your main event match days later meant nothing. And it would have meant nothing from an injury standpoint because we are hearing that he tore his triceps or some sort of arm muscle and will be out for an extended period of time. I should say that it's reported or reportedly believed to be torn triceps, some sort of triceps injury that would have made him vacate the championship anyway, CM Punk. But, I mean, the Trios title, first time, you just did a tournament, no fucking reason now because the Elite are out. You just had these weird back and forth matches with Punk and Moxley. No fucking reason now. Like, all that AEW can do at this point, and this is where Moxley, Jericho, and Danielson are, it appears for me as a fan looking on the outside in, are coming in, is saying, listen, all we could do at this point is what happened in the past is in the past. We just have to put our best foot forward. But AEW is on like this razor thin tightrope, and they're doing so well in the viewership because of all the drama. That's it. Like, we just want to see what AEW is going to say. We're not like laughing with you. We're laughing at you type stuff. It's a strange period of time, Dr. Trey. I don't know. I think ultimately how this all plays out, I do think as a promotion, I think AEW gets out of these dark times. I hope that Tony Khan and company learn from this from an organizational standpoint and don't allow the inmates to run the asylum this much ever again. Elite and Omega, they come back. I think Punk has wrestled his last match in AEW. I don't think he's coming back, to quite honestly. That's where I'm siding on this entire thing right now. There appears to be so much animosity between the two groups, factions that were involved in this. Unless they can get together and go, hey, listen, what's done is done. When everybody comes back, when you get healthy, let's go make some damn money in this thing. And if they decide to do that, that will be best for business. But as it stands right now, I just can't see Punk returning to the company ever again. How do you see this play out, Dr. Trey?
Well, first of all, I just want to mention that 3 hours ago, Tony Khan tweeted out that last night's AEW Dynamite was also one of my favorite shows we've ever done. I'm so glad to keep the recent ratings hot streaks going. And best of all, to have a great Wednesday night wrestling show for the fans. I'm excited for Rampage. I promise you a great show tomorrow, too. So, delusional, perhaps? I don't know. honestly, I don't know how this shakes out because, I mean, I don't see Kenny and the Bucks leaving. Because, I mean, here's the strange situation. Where are you going to go if you leave? Like, I'm sure WWE would love to have Kenny in the fold, maybe the Bucks as well, but they've also taken a lot of shots at that company. CM Punk, like, how are you going to fire your number one ratings draw and merchandise sales guy? Like, whenever he shows up on TV, like, shirt sales go through the roof. Like, and you're going to fire him because you didn't stop him from saying something when you were a foot away. Like, I don't know how the intrigue is. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I really have no clue because, I mean, if Punk leaves, he's done with wrestling. I mean, can you see him going to go work for Hunter? Like, it boggles my mind.
I think he almost worked for them. To be honest with you, I think he was going back there if the pandemic didn't happen in 2019, 2020.
Well, I don't know because, like, when he was on...
he was on backstage. He was back in the fold. Triple H reported that there were conversations between the two.
Well, when he was on Renee Paquette's Oral Sessions show recently, like, he made it sound like, you know, the fact that, like, he was never going to work for them. Like, they were giving him overtures, but his deal was with Fox, and so he never dealt with WWE. So, is the thing. If it happens, it happens. To me, like, with all the shots that have been fired back and forth, it's just hard for me to picture any one of those four people ending up in WWE. But stranger things have happened. So who knows? I honestly just don't see how you can fire any of these guys based on what happened at that show just because of all the shit that went down right there at your fingertips if you're Tony Khan. Like, this is all because you didn't shut CM Punk up. If you had just stopped the press conference, none of this happens. And the great thing is, it makes Punk look like he was telling the truth because the story got out right after it happened, which was the whole point of his firing shots at the EVPs and Hangman Page, was that shit was getting leaked out that shouldn't be getting leaked out. And this was out within an hour of it happening. So that's just how crazy this whole thing is because Punk's apparently not wrong in his point of view, which is shocking to me.
Dr. Trey, last thing I want to get to here before we close up shop on this week's edition of the show. Has the CM Punk signing for AEW been a colossal clusterfuck? Because he's had the championship twice, and he's held the title for no more than like 3 days. Each time, the Wednesday following the pay-per-view victory, he either gets hurt or then vacates the title. I think he vacated it that Friday, that Rampage episode, that week following Double or Nothing. And then obviously he was vacated this past Wednesday because of the whole incident. Has it been a colossal clusterfuck?
He's the Sasha Banks of AEW. He can never get a title defense. No, I don't know if you can say colossal because... I mean, dear God, he's produced ratings. He's got people back. Like, he's even got more people into AEW than were there before he got there. But it's kind of like you mentioned Urban Meyer earlier. Like, when Urban Meyer got hired by the Jaguars, ticket sales went up. And then it fell apart at the end. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, where I'm like, I don't want to say it's a colossal failure because, I mean, he brought an extra roughly about 100,000 fans. 100 to almost 200,000 fans to the table that weren't there before him, and they've maintained most of those. So obviously your revenue's up, but then this could be, depending on how this goes, if this turns into a lawsuit, like, this could really, really, like, severely damage the company to the point where Tony's dad pulls the plug, because as much as Tony wants to say he's got all the money, it's really his dad that's got all the money. So that's gonna be the question. And Jericho mentioned it in his scrum. You got TV contracts coming up. If this is your product, how many TV companies are jumping at adding you to their roster if all they're hearing is negative press about your company? So, I would say maybe not colossal failure, but probably right now is a failure. And then depending on if there's legal ramifications, could be the biggest failure in the history of pro wrestling.
don't put it past anyone yet that there could be some legal ramifications of this. So I'm sure this will be a story that we'll be talking about here on next week's edition of the show. And then, of course, anything that you guys want to say about the podcast, feel free to chime in on Twitter at SRTU Podcast or on Facebook, facebook.com/thestillrealtoshow. With that said, let's get a couple plugs and spots out of the way. You can download the show every Thursday at realguyradio.com, WrestleChat.net on Twitter, and the Still Real Toast Show iTunes feed. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to help us climb the charts on iTunes. You can follow us individually on Twitter for myself at SRTUJeff and for Dr. Trey Franklin at TheDrTrey. And, of course, don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at SRTUPodcast. With that being said, what is going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Trey Franklin this week?
Well, like Jeff said, you can follow me on Twitter at TheDrTrey. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Dr. Trey Franklin. When you're on Facebook, check out Rocket City Championship Wrestling, the best show running in the state of Alabama right now. So be sure to check out all their stuff. Also, if you have a problem with me or Jeff, come talk to us. Don't leak it to Dave Meltzer. Just come talk to us. I'm not hard to find. I'll be in the locker room. You can just come find me back there. I'll be eating some beignets and drinking some weird energy drinks that I brought like 12 of to my press conference.
Funk did say, if you have a problem with me, say it to my fucking face in the hallway. He's not hard to find. And they did. So, busy week for the world of professional wrestling. Extra overtime here on this week's edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for downloading. Again, feel free to chime in on anything that we talked about in this week's edition of the pod at SRTU Podcast or facebook.com/thestillrealtoshow. I'm sure this story is nowhere near over, folks. So until next week, for Dr. Trey Franklin, I'm Jeff Peck. Enjoy the weekend. This is The Still Real Toast Show. Thank you.